Heavenly Father, we ask you to open your word to our hearts and to open our hearts to your word. In Christ's name, amen. Would you sit down, please? Oh, I do remember these summer mornings in Ducklington. I mean, there are winter mornings in Ducklington, but there are days like these, and you do remember them. It's gorgeous, isn't it, really? Not quite so hot today, either. Stories. Tell me a story. Right from when we are tiny. I mean, I don't know what age children begin to enjoy stories, but very, very young. And all through our lives, stories speak to us. And the Bible is, in fact, God's story. It is the story of God. It's the story of God interacting with the human race and the human race searching for God. It's the story of people who discovered wonderful things about God and to whom God revealed wonderful things. So it's stories. And the ministry of Jesus, his teaching ministry, very largely consisted of stories. And it actually doesn't matter whether they really happened or not. I mean, did a man actually go down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fall among thieves? Who knows? And it doesn't matter. It's the story that matters. Was there a son who took all his share of his father's money and disappeared and squandered it all in a far country and then eventually came back? Don't know. Doesn't matter. It's the story that matters. And we've just had read to us very beautifully umpteen stories. I mean, little abbreviated versions, I think, like cartoons, one after another, all begun with the same phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, we'd all like to know what heaven is like, but that's a funny phrase when you think of it. I mean, what people want to know is, what is heaven? They don't want to know what it's like, because when you say it's like this, you're giving parallels, images, and Jesus used them all the while. The kingdom of heaven is like. I remember years ago, Rabbi Lionel Blue, the great broadcaster, saying to me, he loved going to Christian churches, and he said what amused him about Christian preachers was that they told a story and then they explained it. And he said Jesus never did that, because Jesus was a rabbi. And rabbis tell stories, and indeed it's true if you look at the Gospels. I think the interpretation is inserted by the Gospel writers, because Jesus ended his stories nearly always with the same phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, there's the story, go away, think about it, meditate on it, reflect on it, bring your degree of faith and insight to it and see what it says to you. And it may be different what it says to you from what it says to you, but this is the story, and it's the power of the story at work in our lives. So I will probably, that's the trouble, I shall break his rule, I shall probably venture into interpreting, but I'll try not to. I just really wanted to look at three of those stories and sort of expand them a little bit. Here's the first one. This would have appealed, I think, to the members of Jesus' audience, who were just ordinary people. They had their little plot of land where they grew their plants and vegetables and so on, and they probably had a couple of asses and perhaps a cow or two and some chickens. And they would have been listening, and Jesus speaks of this man who, well, presumably he's strolling across a field, and as he strolls, he comes across some treasure. Now, we don't know what sort of treasure it was. Perhaps his foot hit it and he looked down, and there, when he examined, in perhaps some weeds or something, there were some coins, perhaps some gold, and he could see that it was very, very valuable. But it wasn't his field. So he thought to himself, what shall I do? And I can imagine the crowd all thinking, what would I do in those circumstances? By Roman law, it belonged to the owner of the field. So he then went home, I think to the astonishment of his wife and family. He went back home, sold his house, sold the donkeys, sold the cows. This is, I'm taking up time doing this. Sold the chickens, and then sold his little bit of land, and eventually got together enough money and went to the owner of that field and said, I'd like to buy
that field. And I, if, you know, if you were telling the story, I'm sure you'd elaborate. You see, and the owner of the land would say, why would you want that field? It's an awful little field. I've got far better ones. No, no, that's the field I want. Oh, a funny field to want. It cuts across the middle. Never mind, that's the one I want. I'm prepared to pay good money for it, cash. So the man sells it to him. And as soon as the man sold it, he doesn't want to plant anything on it. We know exactly what he wants to do with it. The whole crowd knew what he wanted to do with it. He went back and found the treasure that he had buried. Because when he saw it, he didn't want anybody else to find it. So he made a little hole in the ground, put it down, put some soil on top of it, marked it doubtless in some way. And now he's gone gleefully back, having bought the field completely legally. That treasure is now, under Roman law, that treasure is now his. So he dug it out and took it home and said, see, I'm not so daft after all. So that was one satisfied man. Then Jesus goes straight into another story. This would have appealed to the people in his audience who were rather better off, I think. Because this is about a merchant. And this merchant in his travels knows a good thing when he sees it. And in his travels he sees a pearl of enormous value. Now, pearls were the great jewels of biblical times. You may remember that the gates of heaven in the visions in Revelation are made of pearls, pearly gates. So he sees this marvellous pearl. I've got to have it, he thinks. But my goodness, that's going to cost a lot. And even though he's got some resources, he hasn't got enough to buy this pearl. So again, he goes back home, probably to astonishment of his wife and his servants. He sells his house, he sells his barns, he disposes of some of his assets, he empties some of his warehouse, and when he's got all the money, he comes back and buys the pearl. And then he holds it in his hand. I've got it. The most beautiful pearl in the world of inestimable value. That's the end of the second story. No explanation. Third story. So fishermen. This would have appealed to the members of Jesus' audience who were fishermen, and quite a lot were. This was Galilee, all around the lake. Fishing was a big industry, so they'd have been quite interested. When he said, well, there's some people, they went fishing and they had a trawl net at the back of their boat, dragging along, picking up, and these sort of trawl nets just picked up everything. So you got some fish, and you got some debris, and you got, you know, some odd things you can't eat, and so on. And then in the end, you pulled it in and sorted out the fish from the rubbish. So that's exactly what Jesus describes. So it's like a huge net. The kingdom of heaven is like a net, and it gathers into it big fish, small fish, odd things, bits of rubbish, all sorts of things get gathered in. But eventually the net is pulled into the boat and the good stuff is sorted and the rubbish is disposed of. I did challenge Bob to find a hymn all about being burnt up in impossible fire, but he felt there weren't a lot of those in Mission Praise. Gnashing of teeth was another thing I mentioned. Anyway, there's the third image. Now, those are the three stories. Just to reflect, the first one was treasure in a field. The second one was the pearl of great price. The third thing was a very good catch of fish. And the common thing to them all is that there is something there that is of enormous value to the person who wants to have it. Now, if you had to define, I've said this before from this pulpit, the mission of Jesus, the message of Jesus in four words, it's very simple, the kingdom of heaven. Well, it's the kingdom of heaven in Matthew, it's the kingdom of God in Luke and Mark and in the apostles, so the same place really. That's what he came to proclaim. Indeed, he came to illustrate it to us and he came to open its gates for us. That's what Jesus came to do. And so these images are to tell us, what is it that lies ahead? What is this mysterious and wonderful gift that Jesus came to bring to those who trust in him? And the answer is, it's something of enormous beauty, it's something of enormous value, and it's something that is enormously rewarding. It is the opposite of rubbish.
And it is worth, well, everything. It's not that God is constantly calling us to make sacrifices for the cause, but this is actually worth it. And when that woman in Sudan was asked to forsake her Christian faith, you may remember just recently, or she would be put to death, I wonder if you thought to yourself, if I were in that situation, what would I do? And she refused to renounce her faith. Happily, she was not put to death, but she was presumably prepared to be. That's what it means by he sold all that he had in order to have this thing of great value. Sometimes it may cost us even that much. And the theme of these three stories really is treasure or rubbish. And which are we going for in our lives? I mean, it's something we can all understand. What do you want, actually? The treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven, or the rubbish, which is what the world has to offer. One last thought. When Jesus told these parables, he had not yet died on the cross. He had not yet established the means by which we could be forgiven. The great thing now is that the weeds in that earlier parable can be turned into wheat. That the rubbish in the net can be turned into good fish. That we can be forgiven and brought into his kingdom. He came to open that kingdom of heaven, to declare what it's like and to invite us, to invite people to come into it. And in his wider teaching, if you look at it, it was sometimes the people you wouldn't have thought who were most welcome in that kingdom. Didn't he once say that the swindling tax collectors and the immoral women of the streets get into the kingdom of heaven before you lot? See, reversing the normal order. In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That is actually the challenge. What is heaven like? I don't know, because we're never told. But I can tell you, from the constant teaching of Jesus, beautiful, valuable, precious, infinitely desirable. So it's worth going for it.